Hello everyone. We are starting with Chapter 9, Power Conflict Negotiation and Intergroup Behaviors. Let's see what's the learning objective for this session. Post completion of this session for one and a half hour, we would understand the concept of power, what is the base of power, and the power tactics, and factors affecting effectiveness of the tactics. The concept of politics, the concept of conflict, the process of conflict resolution, and the types of conflict. So how does this conflict occur, and what are the different types of conflicts, and how do you actually come into resolution of these conflicts? The concept of negotiation and the various negotiation techniques. So these are the learning objectives in front of us. Let's see what organizational politics is all about. Organizational politics is referred to the self-interest and agenda of an individual in an organization without having any concern about the impact on the objective of the company to achieve its goal. Okay, so it's the personal agenda. It's the self-interest of an individual when he works in an organization without having any concern with the organizational outcome or business objective. Okay, so it's his personal motive. So in order to understand individuals and their interpersonal behaviors, one must understand both these concepts as well. That how power is attained, how power is gained, and how it is applied. So one needs to understand to be able to survive in an organization effectively. Let's see what's the definition of power. Power implies the ability of one individual to impact the behavior of another, because this is basically an influential process. So it implies the ability, your ability to impact the individual behavior so that the other individual behaves according to the first individual desires. Okay, so you have the ability to be able to influence the other person's behavior, and the other person completely bounded to be able to follow what you said as per your desires, as per your individual desires. Okay, so that's what power implies. It means ability to influence or control what people do or think, or it means ability to achieve something or to make something happen. So this is what Macmillan dictionary says, that you are able to, it's the ability to influence or control what people do or think. Okay, so and power has got a lot of implications. Okay, whether it is to do with personal power or it is to do with organizational power. So when there is power concentration in a particular position or a location, there's a lot of upper hand that lies in that location. So power is a capacity or a potential, and one may possess power but may not use it. It is also there. In the previous chapter just now, we have gone through that a lot of power comes along with leadership, but however, some leaders are unable to exercise those. Okay, so similarly, power here we are talking about is a capacity, and one may or may not, in spite of possessing the power, in spite of the fact that you have the authority, but you may not use it. A key aspect of power is that it is linked to dependence. Okay, so it is also, so hence some people are cognizant enough in exercising the powers because it's also linked to dependence. The leadership versus power now. The concepts of leadership and power are very, very closely connected, yet are different from one another. Leadership utilizes power as a means of achieving or realizing group goals, with some commonness of the goals. Between the leader and the follower, there's some commonalities which they work with. There's some common power which they work with. While power needs no goal compatibility, simply dependence. Okay, so leadership utilizes power in such a fashion that they want to, the end objective is to attain a common goal which is common to the group, to the team members and the leader himself. Leadership focuses on the downward influence on followers. It is always downward influence from top to bottom and minimizes the importance of horizontal and upward influence patterns. So while it is not so in case of power. So this is the difference between leadership and power. So in leadership, the focus is always on the downward influence, always on the top to bottom approach. And hence it minimizes the importance of pure power. It minimizes the importance of, you know, bottom-up power, power that has been, displayed by trade unions and things like that. So it minimizes all of that because leadership always focuses on the top-down approach. Whereas power is not like that. Okay, power can be even peer power. Leadership mostly emphasizes on style of leaders to be effective, while power focuses on tactics for gaining the compliance. Power completely works on tricks of the trade. It completely works on tactics. Whereas leadership always emphasizes on the style of leaders, how they can exercise matching the leadership style. They always work on such emphasis. However, power focuses always on the tricks of the trade, which is the tactics. Now, the basis of power. What are the basis of sources of power? Where does power originates from? So power originates, it can be categorized into two general groups, formal and personal. So what are formal powers? Formal powers are which are top down mostly, which is coercive power, reward power, legitimate power. We'll discuss each one of them in detail in the slides from now. Personal power, it has got its expert power and the referent power. So these are the five different types of basis of power, okay? So which are formal, comprises of formal and personal power. Effectiveness of basis of power. I'm sure all of you must have come across these terms while you were studying, while you have been seeing even in the pretext of understanding different hierarchy levels of an organization, in colleges, you can see the basis of power, that how power originates actually. So how power has been exercised and across. So first base of power that we are talking about, which is, coercive power. So when the word coercive comes into mind, what is that first thing that triggers your mind? So it is based on the perception that one can administer consequences for unacceptable behavior, which means it's a complete coercion, which is a complete threat of applying penalty for an unacceptable behavior. It's very as clear as that. That's called as coercive power. If we do not do this, if we do not stretch for the next 1 hour, the organization might just bring in a coercive power because they have been speaking to the teams, they have been speaking to the employees, but their employees are just not willing to extend in spite of the fact that they have lost 2 hours of 2 years of their scalability business, and they have not been able to scale up in now when they are gradually opening up. So hence the organization has made a mandate saying that we will extend by 1 hour of, we used to work for 8 hours, now we are going to work for 9 hours including your break. This is something, and they said, okay, we will keep your Saturday off, but we will extend 1 hour. So this is something that has been appealed and all of that has happened, but it has not been administered and followed by the employees. So hence the organization is bound to create a coercive power. They said that if at all the extension is not happening, if people are not working for 1 hour extra in terms of working, not only being there but actually production time, so if the production time is not extended by 1 hour, we will have a pay cut category of people. Okay, so that is called as your coercive power. Second is your connection power. So what do you understand by connection power? Connection power is based on the perception that one is associated with important and influential people. This is typical of those. Do you know whom I am connected with? Do you know whose son am I? I am the son of the mayor. I am the son of the IPS officer in Mumbai. So all kinds of connections, when you show the power of connection to people and basis that, you actually try to take an upper hand and influence the whole situation. So that's called as your connection power. Next is your reward power. So reward is power is based on perception that one can distribute rewards and recognition. So you lure people with rewards and recognitions. You use the carrot mechanism, saying that if you achieve this in the next 2 months, we are going to increase the bonus by 5%, or we are going to increase the bonus by 2%. Okay, so that is what at the organization level. So we can also put it saying that, you know, reward power can be exercised at home very regularly with our children. When we want our children to do well in the exam, we say that, okay, this exam, if you score 95, I am going to, in this subject, in math, if you're going to score 95, I'm going to reward you with a bicycle, with the brakes, the complete racing model. So I'm going to give you, but below 95, I'm not going to allow this to happen. So hence you will have, so that's the reward power. So on basis that, the person gets motivated enough to be able to live up to the expectation. And mostly reward power really acts well. Reward power has proved to be one of the smarter ways of getting work done. Then comes your legitimate power. Legitimate power is based on the perception that one's influence, attempts, and decisions are appropriate for someone with one's title or role. Legitimate power is something which is legitimate, which is legal, which comes with the role, which comes along with the role. So people believe that this automatically comes along with your designation. Okay, so people abide by that. So it's a legitimate power. So me being the head of the family, I will make the decision whether we want to shift the house or not. So so that is the legitimate. Being the head of the family, being the father of the family, I would decide where we want to shift. All of us are working from home. We need not to be very close to the office now, which we were doing earlier because of the fact that we wanted to be close proximate to the office. But now, since we are going to work from home for the next 2-3 years, let's move to our own house, which is there 40 kilometers away. It's fine. Doesn't matter. We will save on a lot of cost. So that's your legitimate cost. And people abide by that. People follow by that because they consider him legitimate enough to take the decision. Similarly, a principal can decide in a school what kind of classes they want to continue in the next few months. So that's the legitimate power. So being the principal, you are authorized to be able to take the decision. Second is your referent power. So referent power is based on the perception that one displays behavior and the personal characteristics that earn the respect and trust of others. So few of the examples would be, say, some of the brands which are really doing, suddenly they started doing well because of the referent power that you have. Say, Sachin Tendulkar, when he comes, all the cricket fans and the youngsters who are fan of his will definitely follow the reference of Sachin Tendulkar for selling of a particular bat, say cricket bat. Okay, if he's advertising that bat, immediate shift in the business happens because of the referent power, because Sachin Tendulkar is using it, which means it has to be good. So that's the referent power. Then comes your information power. So where you're, where everybody knows that you are bestowed with a certain level of information. So information power is based on the perception that one has access to the information that is valuable to others. Okay, so this is basically, so for example, class representative. So a class representative will be the one who would be always interacting with the teacher, with the different subject teachers and all of that. Okay, so hence all the students are, cognizant about the fact that he has a lot of information close to that. Okay, tell what the teacher has said. When are we supposed to, is she going to extend the date of the acceptance of project? So for the fact that he has more information with him, hence the whole team of students, whole group of students will be abiding by the power that he exercises. So he can actually exercise an information power with his fellow students. The last but not the least is your expert power. So it is based on perception that one possesses subject matter expertise, knowledge, judgment, and experience. So somebody who is expert in that field, somebody who has been really doing well in that space and has talked about it, somebody who has experienced it enough, somebody from the Say, for example, you have joined a new organization, and then you know you worked there for a while. But however, you have been moved into another department, which is similar to what you have done in the past. But you have been moved. But there, whoever is moving out from that position actually shares all the information, his expertise, his subject matter expertise while performing his role that he had. So he shares the complete expertise of the entire knowledge, skills and attributes that are required to be successful in that role. Okay, so hence that expert power is something that you always take care of. You always find it very, very valuable, and it's a very good base to form. So if you're getting to know from the expert who has already performed that role and has gone, elated to the next level, which means he has really graduated well in that role, right? So he has developed enough of subject matter expertise. So hence, the power that I'm getting from him is the expert power, right? I hope all of you are clear with the effectiveness of basis of power. Coercive power, which is based on a penalty or consequences for unacceptable behavior, connection based on influential relationships that he or she would have, reward power based on rewards mechanisms that you can interplay. You can generate a lot of responses basis your reward power. Legitimate, which comes with a position. Referent power, which comes with a reference of a particular with whom you associate. Say, for example, you are an aspired actor. You will receive a lot of references from the actor. If some ad is being campaigned by this actor, you definitely go with that brand. Information power, which is based on the information. For example, the class representative who has a lot of information, what happens in the class. Expert power, which comes as the expertise which comes from the subject matter expert. I hope all of you are clear with the effectiveness of basis of power. What are the general dependence postulates of power in politics? First is the importance. Dependence will not be created if no one desires what you have. You cannot create dependency unless and until you have a commonalities, you have a mutual liking or my mutual desirability for what you have been doing. Since organizations actively seek to avoid uncertainty, hence it can be expected that individuals or groups that can minimize uncertainty will be viewed as controlling an important resource. Okay, so people who would be able to control and who would be able to minimize the uncertainty levels within the organization will be viewed as the ones who are controlling, and they would be considered as important resources because they are able to manipulate things. They are able to control a lot of things. This is the reason why marketers are most important resource for an organization. If you see, a marketing department is considered, in spite of the fact that it's not a revenue generating department, it is looked up with great respect. Since, not for any other reasons, but because they're very critical to the organization. They are very critical to be able to mitigate the uncertainty that comes along as per the dynamics of the environment. Okay, while the organization is selling their products, it will depend a lot on the uncertainties, and marketing is the one who bridges the gap between the uncertainty and the relevance. Scarcity dependence relationship can be seen in the power of occupational categories, where the supply of the labor is low related to demand. Workers can negotiate compensation and benefits. Isn't it very obvious? So when there is scarcity, when there is a particular skill set which is in demand, and you do not have enough people there, you will definitely have people who would come with high demands of salaries, high demand of remuneration. Compared to the ones who are whose skills are available in abundance, where the supply of the labor is low related to the demand, workers can negotiate higher compensation. No substitutability. If resources has fewer viable substitutes, for example, those are very, very cut out skills that the resources have. Those resources will definitely have more power control. And those resources that can be easily replaced do not command much power control on those who require it, right? So the resources who are very commonly available, whose skill sets are very commonly available, they are unable to command much power control. Simply because they do not want to say, and they know that if I'm I can be replaced, there is a substitutability anywhere, anytime possible for me. But for people whose skill sets are such that whose credentials are such that the substitutability is not very easily found, there the power game again is higher. Power tactics. What are the power tactics? Ways in which individuals translate power bases into specific actions. What are the different influence tactics that you have? First is your legitimacy, rational persuasion, exchange, consultation mode, personal appeals, ingratiation, pressure, coalitions. All of these are your power tactics. We will go in detail one by one. The first is to understand what is legitimacy. This power tactic involves relying on one's organizational and authority position. Rational persuasion. This power tactic involves putting forth logical viewpoints and fact-based evidence. Here, no people-related and emotional cases are being taken into consideration. So here, it's a complete rational persuasion. This tactic involves only putting together the logical viewpoint, what is the logic in place, and what is the fact in place to show that there is a request, the request is reasonable. Okay, so no other ways and means, but only fact and factual viewpoint and the logic in place. First was completely legitimacy, which we have spoken about earlier also, which comes with a position, which comes with an authority position in the organization. Second is your comes with logic and your fact-based evidence. Next is your inspirational appeals. This works very well sometimes. As I mentioned earlier in one of the examples, that this is a power technique, okay? And it involves building an emotional commitment by appealing, saying that we have already lost a lot of time and a lot of production time. We want to scale it up now. Why don't you join hands with us so that we extend 1 hour and be able to scale up our production, which we have lost. Okay, so this is an inspirational, and please join us and help the organization grow. In turn, we all grow together. So this is a very inspirational appeal made by the founder or maybe the management of the organization. And it appeals to individuals or the group's values, requirements, hopes, and aspirations as well. Okay, so this involves building a complete emotional commitment. So you're putting an appeal so emotionally that nobody can say no actually in this context. So everybody says, yes, I understand. We all understand the fact that we have 2 years, organization has given us the salary, we were working from home. However, we were not able to scale up being a factory employees. We were unable to scale up from home. So hence, it's worthwhile to work together to stretch a bit and scale up the production. So it's the inspirational appeal works there. Consultation. Another power tactic, which involves increasing the individual's support via inclusion in decision making about accomplishment of plan. Okay, so while you are working on the accomplishment of plans, you have the plan in mind. What you do is you do a co-creation by involving them. You involve the individual in the decision-making process, and this consultative style actually works well with these people because they feel involved. They feel that we are part of the goal-setting process or we are part of the plan. So brings in a whole concept of inclusiveness as well. Exchange. This power tactic involves rewarding the individual or group with benefits or favors in return of following a request. So this is an exchange. It's very similar to reward, but here it is an exchange. Okay, so this reward the individual or the group with benefits and favors in return of a following. You do not say if you do not do what happens, if you do not achieve what happens. You only tell them that these are the benefits that you're going to receive basis the accomplishment of this. So you do not have a second thought about it. You have to achieve it. But if you achieve it, this is the reward which comes along. Personal appeals. This is another power technique which involves seeking compliance based on loyalty or the friendship. This has nothing. This is completely personal relationship based on the interpersonal relationships that you have with people. Okay, so it's just that I look for your support. It's just like how you ask for votes. Okay, so seeking compliance based on the loyalty that we had. You have seen the last year I have done this. So in the college, when you get elected for the the GM or the secretary, college secretary, you always speak about what you have done in the past, and you say the kind of loyalty that I have shown. Your demands have always been my prime concern. So basis that you give me your vote, right? So it's typically nothing else but the loyalty and the friendship. Ingratiation. So this power tactic involves use of flattery. Okay, so you just kind of flatter the person. You praise, to have an amicable approach before making the request. So before you know that, sometimes what happens is that you're aware that something is there, some expectation is there while discussing about this particular topic. So sometimes what will happen is, the person who's seeking power will actually start with a very good note saying that, oh, wow, you look very nice. Have you lost weight? You look fitter now. So these kind of, praiseworthy discussions will be starting with which is also called as ingratiation. And then, after about discussion, once you got into work and all of that, after about 10, 15 minutes, he will come to the main point and he will start asking for your support. So that's what is, again, another power tactic. Next one is your pressure. Building pressure. Okay, so this involves use of pressure in the form of warnings, threats, or constant demands. You know nowadays how the job market is. So, for example, the manager comes and says that he wants to really stretch the targets because he's on alert. Okay, so organization has given him ultimatum saying that do or die. If you can generate this business, it's fine. Otherwise, we have to probably close this part of the business. So the unit head becomes cognizant about the targets. So he has to turn it around. So he will further build pressure on his team members. So he comes and he puts pressure on the team saying that, how the job market is now. We are losing jobs. I have been given a mandate of downsizing my team. One last chance that I have is to turn around this business. I have to make it to 3 CRs this year. If else, I would be, we would be shipping it out. So decide how you want to do it. So because of the threat of the job threat that you have given or the warning that you have given, it could be direct or it could be indirect also. People will start abiding by that. People will start giving themselves committing to that pressure that you build. They will build commitment around that. They said, okay, fine, then we will stretch ourselves in this. So, and you get what you accomplish. You get what you plan to accomplish. Next one is your coalitions. This is another tactic which involves enlisting the aid of support of others to persuade the target to agree. So what you do is you give examples of others. This is a process which my maid always does it with me. So for example, she has taken one leave, and instead of one leave, she actually calls me, and she actually she got an approval of one day leave to go to a village and come back. Second day she was supposed to join back, or maybe 2 days, and she returned only after 5 days. And when she comes back, I tell her that so next month you cannot take any holiday. The whole month you will be working. So she gives me this coalition that only you are the only one who's telling me all this. You are only recommending all this. Huh? Nobody else is telling me. Everybody is fine with my 5 leaves. So this is how to get the support of mine. She must be doing the same thing to others as well. So just to get the support of mine, she will just aid on to giving examples of others who have already complied by. Just to get my compliance there. And same thing, she must be exercising it somewhere else, saying that, I have already said yes to it. Others are finding it difficult. Right? So what are the factors that affect the effectiveness of this power? Direction of influence. Rational persuasion is the single tactic that is effective across different levels of organization. So rational persuasion is the superpower, actually. It's the single tactic that is unanimously effective across different levels of the organization. No other second thought which can beat this. The next one is your next factor is your inspirational appeal, which works very well in case of influencing down the line. If it is from top down, inspirational appeal works very well, as I gave you the example of the factory setup. Pressure tactic also works well in case the direction of influence is downwards. These are very well accomplished tactics of downward line power exercising. Personal appeals and coalitions are effective with only peer groups. Okay, it's not much top down doesn't work well. Okay. Order of usage of tactics. Chances of success of translating power into actions is quite high with the use of two or more tactics. Okay, so you do not get success straight away by using one straightforward tactic. So you might use a combination of two or three. Okay, and sometimes it could be simultaneously using two tactics, or sometimes it could be sequential also. So to be more effective, one must start with softer tactics first and then use the softer tactics, which are called as more of your personal power, and then start with the harder tactics, which are more the other side of the power. All right, so softer tactics includes your personal power, which are your personal and inspirational appeals, rational persuasion, consultation. All this works well in the order of usage of tactics. Individual skill using the tactic. The level of political skill or their capability to influence others to further their own goals is different for different people, right? So, everybody has a different level of capability when it comes to convincing others or influencing others. So those who are politically skilled are the one who will always use all kinds of influence tactics effectively. They will be very, very good with influencing capability. Individual skills using the tactic. High stakes always tend to make the political skill appear more effective. When you have high stakes, when your stakes are high in any particular incident, any particular situation, you tend to make the skill appear more effective. So politically effective people exert influence on others without them realizing. You don't even come to know when they have exercised on you, actually. I have been victim of these power plays, these tactics. So what happens is that, there are tendencies of people who horizontal level of power, you will definitely come across this. So people who are very politically skilled will always listen to what we have been talking, and they will be very cognizant of what each one of is discussing in a meeting, which is probably informal in nature. So they will pick up cues from it, and then will make a story around it, and they will escalate that story to the next level, to the person who was not part of it. It could be a manager, it could be some lateral, somebody who's influential in the network. So it will take that story to the next level. Okay. And then create a mindset over there about the ones who were part of that network. I have gone through this multiple amount of times and I couldn't realize it because I was not very politically skilled. But now I understand this was early part of my career where I did not understand as much. And I was like, why? What did that happen? I did not. And she was not, he or she was not bad with me. We did not have fights. We did not have any kind of, non-talking terms or something like that. We were good enough. I didn't even realize that had happened. And my scores went from X to completely X minus one. And I didn't even realize it happened in the wink of the second. Okay, so you have to be very, very cognizant while you are in the corporate. It happens regularly in the corporate, and especially, and in some organization, it is from that culture is promoted as well. So we're coming to the culture of the organization. Organization cultures are different. They're varied. Some may be warm, some may be very comfortable and supportive of others, may be formal and very conservative. Okay, some organization, the moment you enter, you will see that very quiet, everybody is sitting in a cubicle, no open space there, everybody is half cubicled, so nobody is able to see each other. while they're working. So those kind of conserve working you know, processes in the organization. Extroverts are more influential in places where focus is teamwork. So wherever there is a team working in place, extroverts really do well. And highly conscientious people are more in places focusing on individual work. Wherever when individual work is more encouraged, you will see conscientiousness people will always do well. Extroverts people do well in a team background, in a team situation. It can be said that the organization itself influences with power tactics is viewed as acceptable for you. Sometimes, as I mentioned to you earlier, that organization itself influences, and sometimes they feel that they influence power tactics many a times. So hence, they are viewed as acceptable for use. They find it, they consider it to be acceptable. So factors that affect the effectiveness of these power tactics include your national culture, your target group. So what is national culture? National culture is your individualistic country's perceived power in personalized terms and as a legitimate means of furthering their personal ends. So this is what is your national culture. Okay, and you know what your countries perceive about it. So some countries perceive that women should not work after 4 o'clock in the evening. There are still some countries who prefers that. Okay, so that's an individualistic, that is a very country level thought process, okay, which you know, probably as a leader you may want to exercise it everywhere else as well. Okay, so because of it, the legitimate means of furthering your personal ends. So now the target group. Now what do you mean by target group? The effectiveness of the tactics depends on the traits of the people who are being influenced. Okay, so effectiveness will depend on the tactics. The effectiveness of the tactics will depend on the traits of the people on whom you have influenced it. Those who are influenced by soft power tactics are themselves more reflective and internally very, very motivated, and they possess high self-esteem and greater need for control. So those who are influenced by the soft power tactics, you know, soft power tactics were the ones, the emotional appeal and all of that. So so these are the people who are who abide by that, who are influenced by the soft power tactics, will always be more reflective. They will be more constructive. They will internally be self-motivated enough to possess high self-esteem about themselves, and they will and greater need for control as well. Now, power in action. Now, when you group together, when grouping together tends to exert much greater power than staying individual. When you work in a group vis-a-vis you're working alone, obviously it is working in group is more powerful, isn't it? Because you have different perspectives, because you have different individuals working together. Everybody has got their own knowledge, skill and abilities. So most people want to make own space from where they want to exert influence, receive rewards and grow in their careers. So they want to make their own space. They want to decide for themselves where they want to seek power, where they want to exert influence. If I exert influence to my manager, I know that the performance appraisal culture of my organization is such that your manager is every wholly solely responsible for your performance. So I will make sure that I exercise everything to do with my influencing you know, ability with my manager, with my relationship with my manager. Okay, so and the way I receive rewards and everything, and this is the way I would grow in my careers. But if at all I realize that the organization exercises a culture of having a 360 degree approach when it comes to performance appraisal, I would make sure that I would like to get my stakeholders in my influencing cycle. I would like to influence my peers. I would like to influence my managers, across functional managers, all of it, because ultimately I will get rewarded basis the 360 by everybody's viewpoint, not just one single factor. A person will be said to be engaging in politics when he or she is able to translate his power into action, and those having strong political skills are able to exercise their power basis much more effectively. So a person will be always called as engaged in politics when he is able to translate, when he sees that that is working for him, when he's able to translate his power into action. He's not only thinking about it, he's able to action it because that's the way it's working in the organization. And the ones who have strong political skills, as I mentioned to you, I did not have strong political skills. So hence I was able to get manipulated. So the people who have, the individuals who have strong political skills will always be able to use their power base much more strongly. Thank you so much.